morning. Pastor Corey and a few of us, Keith and Susie, were here at 6 a.m., and we were in the chapel. I preached a sermon in an unusual fashion, and that was without coffee. I've had a couple of cups, and now I can say to you, friends should not let friends preach without coffee. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the gift of this day, the beauty that's innate in it because of who you are and what you have created. But especially this day, Lord God, as we celebrate, commemorate, and remember the gift of your conquering the grave by bodily being raised from the dead. God, may we be in tune with you, in touch with you. Lord Christ, we open ourselves up now to your word. We pray that you would teach us by your word. Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see. And may we bring glory and honor to you this day above all others. May then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, there's something about your hometown, the place you grew up, the place you spent your formative years, and there are things that we share in common. I think about the place where I'm from in Southern California, and I think of it fondly, and there I find on the internet sometimes, and especially on Facebook, these little remembrances of that hometown, like, you know you're from the South Bay when ... or if ... or because ... And so I did a little searching, and I found from the Tri-City Herald these remembrances of this shared experiences with you together. And so the article was entitled, "You Know You're From the Tri-Cities When ... Now, those of you who were born and raised here could write this better than I'm sure the Herald did, but here are a few of the things that are the common shared experience and knowledge and participation of this place. You know you're from the Tri-Cities when radioactive toxic waste leaking from World War II era tanks next to a major river doesn't freak you out. In the slightest. It's like no big deal. You know you're from the Tri-Cities when you don't realize A houses, B houses, C houses are not recognizable floor plans anywhere else. You know you're from the Tri-Cities when you equate goat heads with all that is wrong and evil in the world. That's true. You know you're from the Tri-Cities when you think it's funny that bridges in other cities have real names, not like blue and green and cable. I mean, we could maybe be a little bit more creative than that. And then here's my favorite one, probably because it exonerates me and what I've been saying for the last 5 years. You know you're from the Tri-Cities when you make molehills into mountains. Literally. Badger Mountain, Candy Mountain, Red Mountain. That's what I said. I've been saying that. These are not mountains. What is it about hometowns? You know, we all laugh because these things are true. This is what we do. But there's a kindred spirit among the peoples from that place, and particularly even a specific time. But what are those things? I think there are three things that are important here. First, we share knowledge about a place when we grow up in that place. We have lived life locally. And so when we talk to each other, we all have the same thing going on in our minds. When I say Blue Bridge, you think, oh yeah, of course, that's the Blue Bridge. When I say Goat Heads, you think how many tires you've punctured on your bike throughout the years. Number two, we have not only shared knowledge, but it goes deeper than that. We have shared experiences when we grow up in the same place. That means that we've lived life not only locally, but we've lived life similarly, kind of in the same way, same place, a lot of the same people, same input, same what we're receiving from our environments. And then lastly, not only shared knowledge or shared experience do we share, but we share participation. You know, I thought it was kind of odd when I got up here that I still saw a Richland Bombers stickers, bumper stickers, on cars of little old ladies or little old men. And it's like, once a bomber, always a bomber. Go Bombers. I mean, here we go, right? That doesn't happen other places, people. It happens here. But why? Because we have that shared participation. We have shared life relationally, and we feel it to our core. Well, guess what? The resurrection of Jesus is yet another reminder, and maybe it's the best reminder, that we are to live our lives with our citizenship in a place that's not of this world. In Philippians, we're going to spend a few moments there, so if you'd like to take out your Bibles, you're welcome to, or have your bulletin and follow along. In Philippians, this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. He's talking about the resurrection of Jesus, and how the resurrection of Jesus then leads us to abandon our worldly citizenship and to move into a heavenly citizenship. He starts out by saying in verse 10, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection. You see, that's, I believe, why we came here today. That's my hope, at least. And even if you didn't come here to know the power of the resurrection of Christ, I hope you leave knowing the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And he continues to say, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation, shared knowledge, shared experience, shared participation in the sufferings of Jesus, becoming like him in his death. And so, he continues in verse 11, somehow, it's mysterious, it's spiritual, attaining to the resurrection from the dead. So we share in the death of Christ, and the life, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, let's be real here this morning, because that's kind of how I am. I'm just kind of, as you see me, you get me. What you see is what you get. There's no pretenses. There's a lot of transparency. And so as Paul is being real here with the church at Philippi, so too I think we ought to be real in our context here today, in our day and age. The reality is that though we have two choices, a choice to live in the world or a choice to live as citizens of heaven, many, most, decide to continue to live as citizens in the world. Look at verse 18. I'll read it for us. Do you hear the heart of Paul here? Paul says, for as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. That's real, folks. That's a reality of the world in which we live. Pastor Dave preached a fabulous sermon last night, reminding us of the realities of Easter. This is Easter Sunday. You know what next Sunday is called? Low Sunday. Why? Any guesses? Because our attendance will go, phew. The reality is, next week, we will worship as a congregation at our services with at least half. Only half. We may not even worship at half the attendance of Easter Sunday. Why is that? Because the reality is, many live as enemies of the cross. We decide to continue to live in the world, no matter the evidence stacked against it. Many of the world, most of the world, continue to live as enemies of the cross. Pastor Corey reminded us on Good Friday that this was the truth. He said to the measly congregation that worshiped on Good Friday, he said, if If people were really concerned about living in a right relationship with God, then this church would be packed. But the reality is that people don't care. Some of us may even be here because we were drawn here by a loved one. No, it's Easter. You got to come. But friends, we have an alternative. You see, living in the world brings these things, says Paul, verse 19. Their destiny is destruction. God is their stomach. That means that we're all about ourselves, selfish, that glory is their shame, and their mind is set on earthly things. Doesn't that accurately define the world around us? It most certainly does. I spend a lot of time out in the world as a chaplain for the fire departments here in the Tri-Cities. A lot of time. And I can tell you, more times than not, when I show up on a scene with the death of a person, because that's when I'm called out, many, if not most, say, oh, no, 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 no. I don't need you. You see, I'm not religious. Okay. Well, good luck with that. But here's the good news of Easter. This is why we gather on Easter Sunday. To remember, we don't have to live life as we are being destroyed in it. We don't have to live life selfishly for the unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I. We don't have to live life with God's glory as our shame. We don't have to live life with our mind set on earthly things, worrying about finances, or our kids, or our spouse, or our aging parents, or our jobs. No, there's an alternative because Jesus conquered the grave. And that alternative is to live as citizens of heaven. We can give up our worldly citizenship. You see that in verse 20? Paul says, live as citizens of heaven. And how do citizens of heaven live? Well, they live awaiting a Savior. Jesus is coming back. That is fact, not fiction. And when he does, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that will be glorious for those of us who are in Christ. But it will be destruction for those who are not. And we no longer, as we live as citizens of heaven, live under the control of our own power. It's not me, myself, and I. The unholy Trinity becomes the holy Trinity of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I've lived both ways, friends. I've lived in the world. I've lived selfishly. I've lived without the power of God. And it's no way to live. It's no way to live. Maybe that's the way you're living today. It's not satisfying. We're always grasping at straws. It's something else to satisfy. It hurts to the depths of our core. And so I chose to live as a citizen of heaven. And I hope that's your choice today. Because you get to make a choice. And if you decide not to make a choice, you're making a choice. The choice would be no. But you're going to make a choice as you leave these doors, as you go to celebrate and eat ham. Everybody eats ham on Easter, right? Or do an Easter egg hunt. Or gather with family. Or go out and enjoy a lamb feast. I don't know what you're going to do. But you're going to make a choice to either go out these doors and live in the kingdom of the world as an enemy of the cross, or as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. I want to live in that kingdom of heaven. How do you do that then? Well, Paul says this in verse 10. You've got to know Christ. Remember what makes a community a community? It's these three things. And Paul says them right here. First is you've got to know. You have to have that shared local experience living together. He says, I want to know Christ. And so I press on, says Paul. I strain forward. He's making an effort to know Jesus. He's making an effort. Paul is a regular worshiper. Paul is regularly in the scriptures. Paul is regularly in prayer. You know, how do we know Jesus? By spending time with him. I can't say that I know my friend Pastor Corey. if I don't spend time with him. And so I can say about Pastor Corey, I know him well. Why? We spend a lot of time together. And so sometimes we say, but I don't know what Jesus is all about. Why? Well, I've not spent time with him. So if you're going to live as a citizen of heaven, if that's your choice, press on. Strain forward that you might know him. Number two, if you're going to live in that heavenly kingdom and live as a citizen of Christ Jesus, the raised Christ Jesus, then experience him. Paul says, all should take a view. He says, I'm going to live up. I'm going to take hold of this life. This is the shared experience that we have together. We grow up similarly in Christ Jesus. And lastly, and I would suggest to you, this is most important. You know what I'm going to say? Because it's formulaic. It's true. We share knowledge. We share experience. The last one is shared participation. Join together, in verse 17, says Paul, in following my example. What's his example? To live in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I participate in his suffering. I participate in his death. But it doesn't stop there. You see, if Jesus did not raise from the grave, then we are of all people, the most to be pitied. We truly are. Then people ought to weep for us. But Jesus was raised. And so we not only share in his sufferings and in his death, but maybe more gloriously in his resurrection. But the problem with wanting to be raised from the dead is that you have to die first. That's the hard part. That's a hard one to get our minds around. That's a hard one to actually do in our lives. But if we want to be raised into new life, we must die. And I say to you today, sometimes you have to die in order to know you were dead. I'll say that again. Sometimes you have to die in order to know that you were dead. When I left my old life, I had no clue how dead I was in it. No clue. But after surrendering and dying to Christ, I look back and say, oh, I was dead. No pulse, no heartbeat, no breath, no joy, no celebration. Because on this side of the cross, in the raised new life which I now live and which many of you live, we can see that life is truly a gift. And so choose today wisely. Choose today by faith. Choose today to live as citizens of heaven. Know Christ. Experience Christ. Participate with Christ and Christ's body. And leave then with this hope, with this truth. You know that your citizenship is in heaven for one reason. Because Christ has risen.
He has risen indeed.
Amen.